D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whenever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan here with you. We will have, in lieu of Ask D-Mace, Ask Us Anything, meaning me and Willie. There will be a prize associated with it. Wes in Clarksville says Coldplay tickets? No, not Coldplay tickets. But it is a good prize. I think you'll enjoy it. So be listening later this hour for your cue to text in your questions for Ask Us Anything. But let's continue our discussion on the Titans. How much time are you willing to give them to put a winning or respectable or watchable product on the field? Let's continue our conversation about the seven phases of rebuilding. The first phase, denial. And as Willie said, they were denying it. They now seem to be admitting that this is where they are as an organization.
Admitting it without coming out and
overtly saying
making
it.
Proclamations around right. town. We are rebuilding. They're not doing that.
Right.
Which I think would be better off.
But draft, develop, retain. That's basically saying that you're rebuilding without saying you're rebuilding. Phase two, transition. A proper rebuild would start with the simultaneous hiring of a new GM and head coach, who together search for a franchise quarterback. Unfortunately, a more typical rebuild starts with a new GM waiting 1 year before selecting his head coach, who spends 1 year evaluating a lame duck quarterback, who gets replaced by a rookie whose early career struggles cost the coach's job, with his successor spending 1 year sandbagging the GM so he can hire an ally. The result is a self-sustaining cyclone of conflicting leadership agendas.
Okay.
Well, Mike Borgonzi comes in. He didn't hire Brian Callahan. Brian Callahan working with Cam Ward. If it doesn't go well, would we be shocked if Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker moved on from Brian Callahan, continuing this self-sustaining cyclone of conflicting leadership agendas?
You know, it depends on when you even start. Like, there's been a couple of transitions in, if you're really getting down to all of the brass tacks, right? You could say that the Robinson firing was the first transition. And then they transitioned to Carthon and transitioned to Borgonzi, right? So, yes. So they've covered this thoroughly, right? Maybe more than once, the transition.
Yes. Phase three, preparation. A franchise needs salary cap space and extra draft picks to overhaul its roster. So many rebuilds start with an estate auction in which veterans are traded to contenders for future draft picks. Now, one thing the Titans could have done to accumulate future draft picks is made that reported trade with the New York Giants on draft day. I've never seen Willie angrier than I did the day after the draft.
I gotta stand by it. I still think that would have been a better way to get a great roster. And look, it is all gonna be all right if Cam Ward is what they hope he will be, but that's just it. They hope. I think you, and all of it has risks. I would have done the big move to take the Giants' first round pick and bet on the Giants not being very good this year. But they did do some of it. They traded Kevin Byard. They traded DeAndre Hopkins. You know, they've done some things to try to grab draft picks back. They have done some of that. It's not getting them the premier picks that they're looking for, which they say they want. That's what their objective has been stated. They want a certain amount of top 100 picks, a dozen, I think, over the next 3 years. You're hard-pressed to find that right now. But I think the preparation is going on to some degree.
This article, again, was written in 2021, so it's funny to read this in hindsight. The Philadelphia Eagles entered Phase 3 in February when they traded quarterback Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts. The Eagles will spend this year eating ramen noodles while paying down over $57 million in outstanding cap debts. But having multiple first-round picks next year could make the sacrifice worthwhile.
I'd say that's worked out pretty well.
I would say the Eagles have benefited.
And how did they do it? They've drafted really, really well. They got a second-round quarterback that's a really good quarterback, and they've made other smart moves, smart picks, and they've won a bunch.
The one thing that really hampers the Titans, Willie, and it goes back to the unproductive drafts that they've had in recent years, is that the Titans might not have a single star. Might be being generous. The Titans do not have a single star currently on a rookie contract. The Titans hope it's Cam Ward. I wouldn't put J.C. Latham in that category yet, or Peter Skoronski, or Tavondre Sweat. But it certainly helps to have star players on rookie contracts.
No doubt.
Think of the Houston Texans and how they have been able to turn things around so quickly. Their starting quarterback and their premier pass rusher are on rookie contracts.
Yeah,
C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson Jr.
I also always push back on they turned it around, quote, so quickly. They were bad for three straight years.
True.
Before they turned it around. People forget that. But they did amass a lot of draft capital, high picks, which is that's how they got Stroud and Anderson, right? They used a lot of the draft capital to get two high first-round picks in the same year, and they're both pretty good. So they were able, and of course there's special circumstances because they got a windfall for a guy they shouldn't have gotten nearly enough that much for, and Deshaun Watson, right? They fleeced the Browns. Deshaun Watson was already damaged goods for all the obvious reasons, and they still got a ton of money for that. Or draft capital. We got a couple extra first-round picks. Three, maybe?
Between the players they selected with those picks and the players they acquired by trading those picks, they completely overhauled their team.
Sure. And so the Titans aren't going to get that kind of thing. What they could have used was the first overall pick to get something like that, and they chose not to do it. They chose to take Ward, and so all the eggs are in that basket. But the Texans are an interesting study because they were really in the dregs for a while, especially with the Watson conundrum, and they were bailed out. But they were bad for three straight years.
Yes, they were 4-12 in 2020, 4-13 in 2021, and 3-13-1. In 2022, before back-to-back 10-7 wins, 10-7 seasons winning the division.
And let's not act like that's this unbelievable juggernaut that they've got right now, right? They've had back-to-back 10-7 years in a bad division.
How many teams do you think are actually rebuilding in the NFL? When we did that exercise with the Predators earlier this week, Daily Faceoff, I believe it was either 13 or 14 teams by Daily Faceoff's definition were rebuilding in the NHL. So nearly half the league. How many teams would you say are rebuilding right now in the NFL other than the Titans?
All right. I need to be looking at a list of the teams in order to do this right.
I'll give you some off the top of my head.
Titans.
The Titans.
Yes.
The Patriots.
I think yes. I think they think they might be coming out of it, but yeah.
The Panthers?
Yeah, I think hoping they're coming out of it, but yes, they are in the midst. They're not out of it yet.
Both the Giants and Jets?
No question.
So how many teams is that? Five?
There's five.
Would you say the Jaguars are
Browns?
Rebuilding?
Browns have to be considered rebuilding,
the
right?
Saints. Would you
Jags say are an interesting one because they weren't they 2 years ago won the division.
Yes.
Or 3 years now, 3 years ago.
That would have been in 2022. When they took advantage of the Titans 7 games.
The last 2 years have not gone well for the Jags. They did win that division.
They were 4-13 this past season.
Yeah. And then the year before they collapsed kind of like the Titans did the year before.
Yes.
So is it a rebuild for the Jags? I don't know. I mean, kind of. They changed coaches and everything. But if it is a rebuild, it's a new rebuild off of 10 other rebuilds that they've done.
Yes.
They're perpetually rebuilding.
Yes. So
Colts?
Well.
There's another one that kind of they stay somewhat competitive. They've not really dipped too low. They had the... You know, they've had the odd bad year, but most years they're mediocre to good.
So, Jeremy...
But right now, that's a tough definition. I don't know if they would tell you they're rebuilding. Right?
I just found a story from Jeremy Fowler that was written after...
Raiders?
The Raiders could be one.
I think the Raiders are, right? They got to be considered rebuild.
So, now we're at about a quarter of the league, Jeremy Fowler wrote a story near the end of the NFL season, putting every team into tiers based on contending and rebuilding. He said, "New coach, new direction. Jaguars at 4-13, Saints at 5-12." And again, this was back in February. "Rebuild in the works. Panthers and Titans and Giants." And then in the "yep, still rebuilding" category, Patriots and Jets. So he has, what if we're doing the rebuild in the works or the "yep, still rebuilding," that's five teams: Carolina, Tennessee, both New York teams, and New England.
I think you could stretch it a little bit further. Another one to me that's interesting is the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I think they changed GMs. Their GM is Monty Ossenford, who was here for a long time, wanted to be the successor to John Robinson, didn't get the job, and then took the job at Arizona. He traded, he wheeled and dealed, did it with the Texans, right, for the Stroud pick. And so I think they feel like they're coming out of the rebuild. The worst is behind them. They're still trying to make it happen with Murray. Changed coaches recently. I would still say that they're trying to phase out of the rebuild. I think those teams that you're talking about are kind of like entering into the, you're trying to figure out where rock bottom is. There's a bunch of them that are hoping to have come out of rock bottom and now reemerge as somebody who could win 10 games at least. But there, so I think you could stretch it to at least 10 teams in the league.
It's a much different process.
It's a faster process. You have to turn it around quicker.
Yes.
You don't get 5 years. And it's not really accepted practice. That's the difference in the NHL that we talked about. It's sort of accepted practice that if you're going to do it in the NHL, it's going to take a while. But if you declare it, the owner and the fans will say, all right, at least it's worked for this team and that team and this team. So, okay, let's try it. And even in the NBA, I think it's more accepted practice that it's going to take a while. Football, it's not.
The process.
Football, it's not.
Steven from Hendersonville says, "The Titans are the AFC's version of the Cardinals, completely irrelevant, mostly uncompetitive, and a country mile from being in the conversation. 2037, not 2027, is probably more realistic for the Titans to be competitive again." Boy, I hope not. And you think about playoff droughts in the NFL. The New York Jets are in a league of their own. I believe it's been 14 consecutive seasons without a playoff appearance for the New York Jets, which is tied with the Buffalo Sabres for the longest active postseason droughts in North American sports. I know for a fact that the Sabres drought is the longest in NHL history. It has been a decade and a half since the Buffalo Sabres have made the playoffs. But in the NFL, you don't see a lot of those long playoff droughts. I feel like there are a lot of teams that are in that 3-4 year range, but you don't see a lot of the 8-9-10, or in the case of the Jets, 14 or 15 consecutive years of missing the playoffs.
Well, it's certainly not tolerable, like it might be, like we just talked about in the hockey story, where the perception, because a higher percentage of teams make the playoffs in the NHL, right? There's more teams in than football. So you would think that there would be longer droughts in football because there's less teams that make it every year. So I don't know what the answer to your question is there. I'll bet you there's more droughts than you realize.
But
I think there's also that chance you get the odd year where things fall right. The ball, what was the Rankarthon?
The ball didn't bounce our way.
The ball didn't bounce our way. Sometimes the ball does bounce your way, and a mediocre team slides into the playoffs 1 year in the wild card, not that good, gets beat, and bounces, dips back down the following year. I think that happens a lot more in the NFL. Like the Bears, remember the 1 year, the double doink? Like they had a good team the 1 year with Mitch Trubisky as the quarterback. You look back, like, Mitch Trubisky, what a bust. There was 1 year where they had a great year.
Yeah,
and then they choked really in good. The playoff game. The guy missed the field goal that hit two
double
uprights.
Double doink.
Double doink. If he makes it, it's a really great year for the Bears. But that was like an oasis in this long desert of rough years.
The New York Jets have not appeared in a playoff game since the 2010 AFC Championship
right.
game. Right,
the Rex Ryan
yes.
heyday.
So that was 14 seasons. The Carolina Panthers and Atlanta Falcons have both missed the postseason each of the past 7 seasons. The Saints, Bears, and Colts have missed the postseason the last 4 years.
Those are the longest current streaks?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are the longest current streaks.
And remember, the Lions are just coming out of quite a long drought.
Yes.
That now they have a good team, and so they've been back in the mix here for a couple years.
It certainly seems that Mike Borgonzi was far more, to use the word I've used earlier, prudent in terms of the players he brought in free agency. He spent a lot of money on Dan Moore, but you are going to pay money for a left tackle in free agency because left tackles don't grow on trees. But you hope by adding him and moving J.C. Latham to the right tackle position that the offensive line is more solidified, although the Lloyd Cushenberry aspect of it all is something that I feel like we're not talking about enough. Lloyd Cushenberry, I feel like, is a major X factor for this team this season, depending on when he can come back from the Achilles injury. He brings in Tyler Lockett. He brings in Van Jefferson.
What is the best case for those two guys, too? I mean, you would love to see something, but
But Borgonzi did not. I remember leading into free agency in the NHL last summer. I came on the show when I was not hosting the show, and I likened Barry Trotz to Regina George in Mean Girls, saying, "Get in, loser, we're going shopping." That was Rand Carthon with Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard. And
right,
Kenneth
they went on
Murray.
A spending spree.
Right.
And they, because they felt like they didn't have a choice. And let's not overlook the fact that Chad Brinker was in on that decision.
Yes.
It's not like Chad Brinker wasn't there and didn't okay that. And Chad Brinker was on the record saying, we don't want to do this every year, but they felt like they had no choice. And you know why? The owner also was not down with the let's break it all down and do a rebuild. She didn't want to. Her pride was at stake. She fired Mike Vrabel. They thought, hey, we'll be all right. We got Will Levis. Let's just get him some players. Go shopping. So they did jump in the car with the Mean Girls.
They did.
It wasn't well-spent money.
No,
They overpaid, and we just went documented. The return on investment was next to nothing. It was a disaster.
So I appreciate the fact that Borgonzi did not go nuts spending
right,
a ton of money in free agency.
But also, he didn't have that much of a choice because the money was dead. It's all been allocated to those other guys.
Yes. Hence the unfortunate cycle that
they couldn't even keep Harold Landry, who is still a pretty good player. That's another one that, you know, that is a byproduct of all of the spending they did. It made him not cost effective. I'd rather have Harold Landry on the team. The Patriots have him.
The one thing that is clear about teams in the NFL who are stuck in these rebuilding cycles is that they can't get out of their own way. So you hope that Mike Borgonzi can help the Titans get out of their own way.
Yes.
Make prudent moves in free agency, draft productive players, and put them back on the right path towards being a winning team, a respectable team, a watchable team, whatever adjective you want to use. But
and he's got to hope that some scraps from the Rand Carthon 2 years, Skoronski, Sweat,
Latham,
maybe Tajay Spears, maybe, you know, just, you know, maybe Roger McCreary is worth another contract. You're just looking for little victories that just you can have one less thing you got to go plug, because they have so many holes that they have to plug. It's impossible to do it in 1 year, which is the definition of a rebuild.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans. Rookies and veterans report to training camp on Tuesday. First practice, I would assume, is on Wednesday. So we will be in full training camp mode starting next week. 615-737-1025. Okay. No Derek today on our show. He'll be on with Jake Lyman later from 3 to 6, filling in for Jared. But we are going to turn Ask D-Mace into Ask Adam and Willie. Ask us anything. 615-737-1025. And I told you that we would have a prize to bribe you. I'm not afraid to say it. To bribe you to participate. The best question for Willie and I. Actually, the best question for Willie and me. I'm ashamed of myself for having that wrong grammar there. The best question for Willie and me will win a pair of tickets to Holiday World and Splashing Safari and beautiful, scenic Santa Claus, Indiana. A pair of tickets to Holiday World and Splashing Safari for the texter who asks us the best question on Ask Us Anything, 615-737-1025, Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan here with you. Now, usually on Fridays, we have asked D-Mace, but D-Mace isn't here with us today. He'll be on with Jake Lyman from 3 to 6, filling in for Jared. But we are going to turn Ask D-Mace into Ask Adam and Willie at 615-737-1025. Now, neither of us had illustrious all-pro NFL careers. Neither of us are being inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame tomorrow, but Willie is the best baseball slash basketball player that Vanderbilt University has ever seen.
If you say so, I don't know if that's true.
I'm saying so.
Okay, good.
And
I'll go with it.
I'm here. So 615-737-1025. The best question as chosen by Willie and me. I was so disappointed in myself when I said Willie and I before the break. That is improper grammar. The best question to Willie and me will win a pair of tickets to Holiday World and Splashing Safari and beautiful, scenic Santa Claus, Indiana. The cool splash of fun your family needs is at Holiday World and Splashing Safari. Enjoy free soft drinks and free parking, too, less than 3 hours away. Get tickets at holidayworld.com, but you won't need to go to holidayworld.com because we will give you those tickets if you ask us a good question. So let's start with our friend Nate from Columbia on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. Nate, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
What's up, guys?
How are you?
It's okay. Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good. How are y'all?
Not bad. Not bad.
No, it's okay, Adam. We don't know no grammar down here in the South. but, guys, August is the time for ESPN 8, the Ocho.
It is.
If y'all could choose a sport, which one would you play of the obscure sports with the Ocho, and which Ocho sport would you think you would succeed at the most?
Okay. Thank you for the call, Nate. So I need to look up what ESPN
qualifies?
Ocho sports are.
Is cornhole still in there? Or
I think
that
so.
Its
I think cornhole, ping pong, stuff like that.
Okay.
Obscure
so I
like.
Found
ping pong is pretty serious, man. You got to bring it.
Oh, I think tag's also in it. Extreme tag is a
okay, now that
Ocho.
Sounds like an Ocho for sure.
Okay.
So dodgeball should be on there, right?
Remember the 5 D's of dodgeball.
The father, yeah.
I have found a story from August of 2023. 8 weirdest the Ocho sports explained. The mullet championships. I think I'm out of the mullet championships.
I will not qualify. Although the bald guy with
no
the mullet.
No one on this show can qualify for the
bald
mullet
guy with the mullet is a
also
thing.
Known as the skullet.
Yes.
There's tech ball.
I was accused of having a skullet by Jordan Tutu once a time, on the radio one time. But it was it wasn't a mullet kind of thing. It was just I had gotten a low cut with the baldingness, and he just took one look at it and he said, I like that skullet.
There's tech ball with a Q. Picture a fusion of soccer and table tennis. That, in essence, is tech ball. Well, featuring a specially curved table, the sport can be played both one-on-one or two-on-two and involves players rallying a soccer ball back and forth over a net using any part of their bodies but their hands and arms.
So a little bit like the hockey-soccer game, but a little higher tech.
I will tell you, Nate, the sport I would win. The Excel World Championship. For every spreadsheet wizard in the office out there, this is the sport for you. Featuring a knockout-style bracket, the Excel Championships pit the best of the best on Microsoft's staple work program against each other, each vying to be the quickest to complete a variety of Excel-related tasks.
That's you.
That's me.
That
spreadsheets,
says
baby.
Adam Vingan to me. Okay. I think I'll go with cornhole. I think I'm a pretty good cornhole player. I think I can play.
Okay. Good
pretty
to know.
Good. Let's but go to- it's a, you know, there's some high-end cornhole going on out there.
Now, I know my way around an Excel spreadsheet, although I have a Mac, so it's numbers. But I know my way around an Excel spreadsheet. So sign me up for the Excel World Championships. I think I could.
Gotcha.
I think I could challenge for that. Let's go to Matt on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
Good. My my question is in regards to the Titans. The who do you feel, if any, is going to be the most surprising Week One starter? I think Gunnar Helm's going to separate himself in the tight end position and finally give us some good production. I think he'll be a Week One starter.
Good question, Matt. Thank you for the call. The most surprising Week One starter for the Tennessee Titans.
That would be a pleasant surprise. If either him or the fourth round wide receivers got in there, I would love to see that because they desperately need it. I do think that that's the area of the roster where there's space. It's the land of opportunity. The skill players for the Titans outside of Calvin Ridley, it's wide open. If you're good, you're gonna fly up that chart. New quarterback, maybe a better offensive line. The running backs are sort of set. I think that's as good a guess as anybody. So I like Helm. Maybe the kid from Stanford I hear good things about. Yeah. So maybe I'd lean that way.
Yeah, I think I would go with Aya Manor, but I don't know if that would be a surprise.
The other thing you can cheat, like with wide receivers, who starts? Like what formation are you in on the first play of the game? Like I don't know how they deem sometimes who the starter is, but the packages, like there's a pretty good chance that one of those guys will be in a starting package.
That's true. What about James Williams at inside linebacker? Would that be a surprise?
Sure.
The Titans inside linebacking.
They need some group. Good surprises.
Yes.
They need some good surprises.
Here's a question. Which group is worse, the Tennessee Titans inside linebacking group or the Predator center group?
The Predators at center without Colton Sissons, not that Colton Sissons was any great shakes, but you knew what you had. And so you could sit there and at least say at your third and fourth line center utility that you've got solid pros there. Now without him, like there's nobody. They have to address that, I feel, between now and the start of the training camp, or they're going to have somebody very, very young there. So I think the biggest question mark, and you know the Titans inside guys, I don't know. It's the inside linebacker guy. That's not the importance of a center in hockey. Like the center question in hockey is a major, major question.
Yes,
the inside linebacker spots on a 3-4 defense, that's not as important a position. It's usually fairly replaceable. And in the context of what they're trying to do this year, it's not a huge thing. So I will go with the Predators.
Let's go to Jay on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jay, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question, I agree with Willie, first of all. We should have traded the first-round pick and got multiple picks. But I also was wondering during the draft why we didn't trade Will Levis to get more picks, whatever we could have got from him. And I do believe that Will is a carbon copy of Ryan Tannehill. I think that he could be a really good quarterback in a certain system that fits him well. But with that being said, he can't do nothing. Couldn't any quarterback do anything with the offensive line that we had? So I think we should have got more picks and went for more offensive linemen because that's where it all starts.
Thank you for the call, Jay.
It would surprise me if they didn't at least take a look and see what was out there. My conclusion without knowing is that he had no trade value. Nobody was willing to trade for him. I think if they were to cut him, somebody would pick him up. But I think people are stopping short of trading an asset for them. That might change if there are injuries during training camp. And I think we just need to be ready for that question coming up in the weeks of training camp is, what do they do at backup quarterback? Do they just end up keeping Levis, who is very cheap? And so it's not a salary cap issue. It's just, do they want him around? And are they willing to just throw him on the street? How long are they willing to wait to see if somebody trades for him?
I am adamant that the Tennessee Titans will trade Will Levis by the end of training camp, similar to what we saw last year with Malik Willis. That was at the end of August. I believe it was my son's birthday, because I remember getting out of the pool. We were having a pool day, and I saw Twitter that the Titans had traded Malik Willis, so I know it was at the end of August. So it would not shock me if Will Levis is no longer a member of this team by Labor Day.
I think, so a seventh-round pick similar to Willis is what you're thinking?
Yeah, I mean, what did Sam Howell go for in the draft? That was a late-round pick swap, right?
That was a swap, though, right? Or was it? Did they get
the Seahawks traded Sam Howell to the Vikings. The Vikings traded a fifth-round pick for Howell and another fifth-round pick. They moved down in the fifth round.
So it really wasn't a pick. They just moved up for a. They just moved slots, right?
I don't think I don't think you're getting more than a sixth or seventh. You can't get more than that.
Yeah, it's different though if a team is really behind the eight ball with injuries at quarterback. True? That's when you might be willing to give up something that you wouldn't have done in the offseason. That's what the Titans have to hope. The question is, what will it look like? I don't know how much they're going to play Cam Ward in the games, but it's not out of the question that Levis, who on a particular play can look really good, right? He can throw a pass that has you going,
yes,
pretty good. And if you're recalibrating, which is hard to do in this market, but if you're recalibrating that all this guy needs to be is your backup, there could be some momentum of, hey, let's just keep him around as the backup. He's cheap.
615-737-1025. We will continue
As we go into the break.
Yes.
I just want to throw one question back at the audience. I need some help.
Okay.
Have you ever set a mousetrap? I need some tips.
Okay.
I need some pointers. Hit me up. 615-737-1025. Shoot me the text. I purchased a couple of mouse traps because I got a mouse. It's not a big problem, but I know he's there. I know he's there. I don't want to be cruel or anything, but what do we recommend here?
Okay.
Tips that we need to know for a mouse trap. Adam, have you ever set a mouse trap?
Only in the board game, also named Mousetrap.
I'm impressed that you played Mousetrap. So I thought you were from the generation of just video games only.
Well, I do love my video games. So if you need a Rube Goldberg machine type mousetrap, I can help you out there based on my experience playing Mousetrap. But an actual mousetrap, I have never set an actual
David,
mousetrap.
David, do you have any skills in this area?
I have a little. I have little skills.
I have my note. I have my notepad. I'm ready for just a couple little pointers. I just want to make sure this is effective.
Okay, so help Willie out. 615-737-1025. We will continue Ask Us Anything coming up next. Remember, the best question for Willie and me will receive a pair of tickets to Holiday World and Splash and Safari in Santa Claus, Indiana. Less than 3 hours away from Nashville. You can win a pair of tickets to Holiday World and Splash and Safari by asking us the best question on our phone or text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trintix's Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps moms close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at RockTheCradleNashville.org. D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie, you solicited advice for setting mousetraps, and our listeners heeded your call.
Oh, man, I've gotten some notes.
I'm
ready to write.
A ton.
Oh, we didn't even let the song play out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Say, hey, kid.
This
song is not about me. And neither is Willie D from Willie Dynamite. It's not about me, but it is stuck.
One texter who says they work in pest control.
Oh, this is really important.
Says to put your bait, peanut butter in parentheses, on your traps. A lot of mentions of peanut butter. What happened to cheese? I thought that was the whole thing. I've watched enough cartoons. I thought it was cheese, but a lot of people said peanut butter.
That I would love a good, astute answer to that question, because I was thinking, I was picturing as I was buying these traps to get some cheese. What cheese am I going to use?
So the texter who works in pest control says, put your bait, peanut butter, on your traps, but don't set them yet. Let the mice eat it, then rebait and set them. They won't be scared of the traps.
Hmm. So a patient, long-range approach.
There are some incredibly detailed suggestions on our text line.
This is great.
Al has a great suggestion. He says, Willie, regarding the mouse question, purchase a few snakes, preferably black racers, and let them loose. You will not see any mice in or outside your house. If that doesn't work, set out green Gatorade for them to drink.
Nice. I just did purchase some Gatorade this morning at the same time that I purchased these traps, but it was blue Gatorade today.
Ah, okay. One texter says, John in Nashville says, just get a cat.
You know, this is part of the reason we have a mouse down there is our dog has now been transitioning to more of an inside dog. It's so hot outside, and our cat spends way more time upstairs now, so he's not down there. He usually does patrol the area, but I feel like it's not a coincidence that the mouse is a little more confident these days, but I'm going to get him. I'm going to report back on this.
The texter, who said they work in pest control, says that peanut butter has a smell to it most cheeses don't. That's why peanut butter.
Okay. Peanut butter it is.
So all of the Tom and Jerry cartoons I watched are a lie?
I know. I was shocked, too, when I first heard about this.
What?
Man.
I got to have a talk.
Maybe the creator just, Tom and Jerry.
Maybe it was just
talk.
Jerry that liked the cheese, not mice in general.
I have a bone to pick with you, Hanna-Barbera. You made me think one thing for so long. I guess it's easier to draw cheese than peanut butter, I suppose.
I have my other side question here is that I got the traps, that not the old-fashioned ones that snap, you know, that you see in all the cartoons. I got the ones where their feet get stuck to the trap. Is that an effective trap?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I didn't have confidence that I could set the ones that snap.
Yeah. The ones who snap. If it was the ones you snap, I was like going to be like, better watch
it looked
your
kind
fingers.
Of flimsy. It also looked kind of flimsy, the ones that were available. I feel like the glue kind will get the job done.
But yeah. If
I could get that verified, or if there's another kind of trap that I need to look at, then I'm open arms to that too.
Let's go to Wes from Hermitage on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. One of the many Wes's who calls or texts our show. Hello, Wes. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? You know, this is a very special day for me. I get two dad jokes on two different shows. Is that not just like the coolest Friday ever?
That is true. You can call Stillman & Company with Derek at 3 o'clock and get another dad joke in there. So good for you.
Man, y'all are both parents. So y'all will understand. My daughter's 11, and this is probably her favorite thing that I do every week. And every Friday that I miss doing a dad joke, I don't ever hear the end of it. So, yeah, it's going to be a good one, man. When should you stop at green but go at red?
When should you stop at green but go in red? I don't know. You tell me.
When eating a watermelon.
Fair.
Well, you know what, Wes? I'm not a huge watermelon fan, so that one didn't
but
land
you
with
understand.
Me.
You understand.
I do understand the joke, but I'm not a huge watermelon fan.
That's sad. If you live in Nashville, you got to be a watermelon fan, man.
I suppose. Do you have a question, or do you just want a dad joke?
Guys,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, my question for you guys is this, because I just heard y'all talking about it. So I've got to ask. This team is currently being built around Cam Ward, right?
Yes.
So if you were Cam Ward, and this was your team, and this was your rookie season, would you want Levis on this roster?
Thank you for the call, Wes.
I guess I would throw back, how would you know one way or the other? You know? Like, what would be wrong necessarily? Don't you have to at least see how it plays out in the training camp? I certainly get the argument that it might be time for a new fresh start for him and for the team. And you have Brandon Allen. You went and took the trouble to go get him. Plus another veteran quarterback. I don't know when that guy's going to get reps. Is that guy going to be allowed on the field, Boyle? I don't know how that's going to work. But it does seem like it's just something that's going to have to play out while Ward presumably gets all the starters' reps. How would it affect Ward? Like, what would be the negative?
I don't see it affecting Cam Ward back in May, which is just crazy to say.
If it does, that doesn't reflect well on Ward.
Back in May, when we were at the golf course for our charity golf tournament, Derek and I were talking about this because that's when we heard from Will Levis for the first time since the Titans drafted Cam Ward. And he put on a brave face and answered questions about the situation. And I said to Derek, I think you've got to trade Levis because he's going to become a distraction. And I don't mean that by Will Levis is going to stomp and pout and cause a rift in the locker room, that sort of distraction. But if Cam Ward struggles at any point, the Will Levis whispers may start creeping back in again, despite the fact that Will Levis had a bad season last season. So I thought it would be best for everybody in that case for the Titans to move on from Will Levis, but it takes someone desperate enough to take Will Levis, and we'll see if a quarterback goes down because of injury in training camp. It tends to happen, right? Injuries happen in training camp. So
the distraction part, though, is controllable from a couple different sources. If Levis takes the right approach, low profile, if the team keeps him in the backdrop more, media-wise, that would be smart. If Ward handles it well, if he doesn't get self-conscious, and if he's really worried about Will Levis after being the first pick in the draft, then that probably doesn't reflect well on Ward. I don't think it has to be a distraction.
I don't think it will be a distraction for Ward. I just think that if he struggles, there will be fans, the same fans who dislike Will Levis, calling for Will Levis to take over.
In a short term, you mean?
Yes.
Wait until the kid's ready. Let's not throw him out there too quick.
So
that would be the one scenario that I think could be sticky if it came to that.
Last question from Alex in Nashville. If you were stuck in space for 2 years and can only pick one team to watch, which team are you choosing? No internet access. When that team is not playing, you can't watch anything else. I think this is a simple question and answer for Willie and me. Willie is wearing a New York Mets hat, so I imagine his choice would be the New York Mets.
Yeah, because you get more games. So you have 162 minimum baseball games.
That is true.
I love the announcing team. And so, yeah, I'd have to go with that.
Mine would
That's going to fill more nights. Like, these last few nights have been tough, man. No baseball games.
But baseball's back today, right?
It's back.
Okay.
1:20 p.m. Red Sox with a 10-game winning streak against the Cubs at Wrigley.
Okay.
And then a full slate of night games.
Mine would be Duke, obviously. By the way, Duke playing Tennessee in Knoxville in an exhibition game in October. Road trip! Can we do the show from Knoxville that day?
Let's look into that. Yeah, I'd say yeah.
Sounds good to me.
At least you can. I don't know if I can make it over there, but
we can make a.
I've done shows from Winnipeg and Vancouver. Like, just you know, take the stuff, man. Do it.
We can make.
You need to experience the Thompson Bowling Arena.
I have never been to.
I have played and scored hoops in Thompson.
You
Bowling
have?
Arena. Oh yeah.
What's the best basket you ever scored in that building? The most impressive basket.
Oh man, there aren't that many. But there were a couple. We lost the game, unfortunately. We did not win. We always beat them at Memorial Gym. I scored in those games as well. But Thompson Bowling, have you ever been to Dean Smith?
I have been to the Dean Dome,
It's almost exactly architecturally the same. Mm-hmm. It looks very, very similar to the Dean Dome. Yes. And you know what? Honestly, for many, many years, it was too big for what they needed on a nightly. So they had curtains that would come down for the upper deck. Since they've done better, they've needed those seats a lot more in recent years when the program has come back up. But you should go. You should absolutely do this. Let's make this happen.
Let's do it.
We know people. We can get you in there. Just don't go full on, with your Did you purchase the Mavs jersey?
I have not yet purchased my Cooper flag.
The Cooper flag jersey?
Jersey or t-shirt yet.
You might just go low profile, just yes. for your own, just look down the middle. You know how the media look is. Just look media-ish.
Yes.
And then privately, you can, slip back into the stands and find the student section.
I mean, to be fair, I do have a Durham-inspired tattoo on my leg. I'll have to wear pants to the game so as not to show it off. I am a professional after all. Can't all be... Not every arena can be Cameron Indoor Stadium, obviously. By the way, in a couple of weeks, we will be headed to the Vingan family. We'll be headed to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And on the way, I think we're going to make a pit stop in Durham so that Arlo can see Cameron Indoor Stadium for the first time.
That is cool.
Yes.
All right. Now we're talking. It's a hoop fan right here. We're going to make this happen.
His grandfather will be quite pleased to see that picture. 615-737-1025. We will confer on the winner of the Holiday World tickets. We will be in touch. 615-737-1025. But you know what? There are a lot of good sports questions. By the way, a lot of good mousetrap suggestions.
I am ready for my plan.
I'm
ready.
Don't use the sticky traps. Don't use the sticky traps, people are saying, because it's
don't
cruel.
Don't use them.
It's cruel.
Cruel?
Yes. We'll discuss on the other side. 615-737-1025.
I love animals, but you're coming into the house. I can't help you. I got to get you out of there.
We'll get back to this.
Okay.
615-737-1025. Hey, if you missed out on the Holiday World tickets, you can text 615-737-1025 right now because the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix is coming to Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend, and you have a chance to win VIP tickets by texting in the keyword race, R-A-C-E, 615-737-1025. For more information on the event, visit musiccitygp.com.